Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on natural cures when we come back. You know, the American or the average American household making between $22,000 and $30,000 a year spends about 16%, or about $5,000 of its income, on food. And if the household is making between $40,000 and $60,000 a year, they'll be spending about 10%, or about $6,000, on food. 12% of American households purchase organic produce and buy from health food stores, organic produce salesmen, and farmers markets. Now, that translates into some 34 million people coast to coast and border to border, and already there are more than 4,000 small organic farms producing organic fruits, vegetables, and meats on 25 acres or less, and they're making $100,000 a year serving this growing specialty market. And some of these farms are as small as 3 acres. And they're in every state in the union. You know, old Henry Kaiser summed it up nicely when he said of his business success, find a need and fill it. And here's a need just waiting to be filled. And the law school has a program to teach you how to make $100,000 a year on 25 acres or less. It's a 5-day school and includes lessons on marketing, business plans, and growing organic foods and law. Why don't you call us here at the law school and order the free 4-hour CD package. Remember, that 4-hour CD package is entertaining, it's informative, it's educational. Best of all, it's free, and you can call right now. The number is 417-273-4967 to order yours. Again, that number, 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, and then click on to the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about natural cures. This is the second in a series of programs that I'm producing that deal with this thing of disease and good health. Disease versus good health, I guess I should say. Remember, I've mentioned this, there's about 450 disease symptoms. About 450 diseases that we call, things like Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, cancer, heart attack, stroke. These are symptoms that we have, symptoms that we develop, pains that we loathe, and then we need a cure for them. And so when you go to a medical doctor, he says, well, the cure is, if I can take the pain away, you're cured. Or if I can treat this symptom like diabetes by giving you insulin, you may be dependent upon this insulin and this insulin program for the rest of your life, but it's the best we have to offer, and it's what we call a cure. Now, I don't take insulin. I just get up and eat breakfast and go out and work, and then I come back in and I eat some more, and I go back out and work, and I come back in and I watch TV, and I live my life, and I don't have to shoot up with insulin, but I know a lot of people that do. And they've got these little thingies, you know, and they're always poking themselves and testing their blood, and it just looks like a miserable way of life to me. And then you look in their refrigerators, and they've got these little vials in the refrigerator. And then what really scares me is that hypodermic needle. You know, you ever watch somebody, they pull out this hypodermic. I'll tell you what keeps me off of heroin and drugs. It's that needle. It just scares the living hell out of me. So, I've been living my life now, I'm getting to be an old man, and I've lived my life without diabetes. I'd like to die without diabetes, and so I quit sucking Coke. So I used to drink Coca-Cola. Well, Pepsi-Cola. They called me the Pepsi Kid when I was a kid, young fella. All my friends were drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon down at the Blue Room, and I was drinking Pepsi-Cola. And so they'd kind of laugh at me a little bit. And as the years went on, I discovered that Pabst Blue Ribbon was better for my friends than the Pepsi-Cola was for me. But then, of course, they'd always told me, you know, I'd always heard this from my Aunt Bessie, that drinking alcohol was a sin, that it was next to being with the devil himself, with that dirty alcohol. Well, you know, people have their opinions and they have their ideas and their religious ideologies. And so all of us, whether we like it or not, are influenced by those. You know, I was influenced by my Aunt Bessie and my granny and granddad. And I smoked Camel Studs. Now Aunt Bessie, she didn't smoke, but she wasn't nearly as incensed about people smoking as she was about people drinking. And my Aunt Bessie, she didn't care if I drank Pepsi-Cola. That was fine by her. She was a registered nurse, by the way. And she thought that was okay. So if I smoked Camel Studs, that wasn't so good. But it was a whole lot better than drinking. And boy, if she saw you drinking a beer, boy, she'd tell you. I don't know what she'd have thought if I'd have walked in there with a Jack Daniels in my hand. But people get these ideas, don't they? And we eat that way, you know. We sit down, we eat chocolate and potato chips. I think chocolate's really great. I love York mint patties. Yum, yummy. I think they're really good. Now, I like Pepsi-Cola. I don't see anything wrong with Pepsi-Cola. Tastes great. Italian dry salami. Gotta love it. Now, I don't eat these things because over the years I've discovered that they cause bad health. They cause symptoms. And that's what we're talking about here, are these symptoms. Now, I'm not going to tell you not to ever eat another Hershey bar because I'm going to eat one here before I die. But I don't eat near as many of them, and I drink a lot more raw milk now, and I eat more grass-fed beef, and I stay away from the grocery store and the supermarkets and the processed foods as much as possible. And nobody's telling us this. You don't learn this on Katie Couric in the 6 o'clock news, or with Brian Williams and NBC and so on. They're not telling you. And there's a good reason for that. You see, the drug manufacturers advertise on those spots on television. And they want to sell drugs. And if people knew how to cure these common diseases, you know, common diseases, you know, I don't know whether these are common in your vocabulary or not, but this fella Trudeau over here, he says, hey, listen, these are fairly common diseases, and there are cures to them. You know, things like migraine headaches, multiple sclerosis, obesity, pain and inflammation, snoring, sore throat, tumors, cancer, high blood pressure. You know, those are pretty common, pretty serious diseases, and there are common, pretty serious cures for those diseases that you can buy right over the counter and probably have in your kitchen, sitting up on the cabinet right now. You know that? So Kevin Trudeau wrote this book called Natural Cures, What They Don't Want You to Know About, and with good reason, because it's cheap and it's very effective. Now, I told you about my heart attack, and I told you about those lines in my ears in the last program. It was old Doc Lester told me that. I was really amazed, and that's why I thought I'd share it with you. So go take a look in the mirror. Go just take a look at your wife's ears. Take a look at your own ears. And then, you know, be a little more cognizant. It's the lobe of the ear, you know, that little thingy that hangs down at the bottom. You just take a look at that, and if there's a line across there, the guy's got advanced atherosclerosis. He's got advanced plugged-up arteries. He's got a lot of plaque in his arteries, and it's just a matter of time now until he has a heart attack. Not just special. And you don't have to have an electrocardiogram. You don't have to have a lot of money. You know, all you have to do is just take a look at that earlobe, and that'll tell you. That's what old Doc Lester did to me. And he looked at me and asked me the question. He says, how long have you had that heart pain? I was absolutely amazed. How in the hell did he know? Well, now, in the solutions here, Kevin Trudeau says, after I commented on solution number one, he goes on to say here, number two, in addition to educating the public on how they are being deceived by these big corporations and by the government, if change is to occur, aggressive action must be taken against the corporations, government agencies, and individual corporate executives and politicians. And I'm going to pause right there, put an arrow in the margin, and ask the question again, why? Why? Why do we have to make any changes at all? Who cares? I don't. And in the last program, I asked the question, what would you think if I came to you and took away all of your medical doctors, took away all of your radiologists, took away all of your hospitals, took away all of your drug companies, and made you go to naturopaths, iridologists, kinesiologists, these kooks and quacks? And I think we both agreed that you'd really be upset about that. And so I said, good, you ought to be. And I don't want you to interfere with me. So let's start thinking about freedom of choice. I think that that's a more logical solution. I think Mr. Trudeau here wants to do away with the American Medical Association. And maybe do away with Merck and Pfizer and the big drug manufacturing companies and the Food and Drug Administration and the Congress and the President. I'm going to sit here and say, no, I don't think we ought to do that. I mean, think about it. You know, God Almighty Himself hasn't stepped into the scene yet and done away with the FDA or intervene in the American Medical Association. You don't find God and the angels from heaven coming down here and raising hell with your local hospital because they're killing 130,000 people a year. You know, God's pretty broad-minded, and He's letting people kind of decide for themselves. And people that want to go to hospitals, no, last time I checked, I didn't see anybody being held in the hospital at gunpoint. In fact, as near as I can tell, most people go very voluntarily into their doctors and plead with their doctors to give them drugs, take them to the hospital, and alleviate their pains. And I don't think that I should come along here, especially a small minority, you know, of one, just George, and say, you people are all sheeple, dumb, stupid, fools, nitwits, and numbskulls because you go to medical doctors. Shucks, I don't care. You don't offend me none. But in the last program I said, how about you button out of my life and let me go to my iridologist, kinesiologist, chiropractor, and my chelation therapist, and let me practice these alternative health care practices. And if it kills me, what do you care? Because, buddy, I don't care if you die at the hands of Merck, Pfizer, and the American Medical Association. I'm not offended. I think you ought to have freedom of choice. And I think Mr. Trudeau here is stepping on too many people's toes. While I agree with him that I personally do not want to participate in the hospital or the AMA or with the pharmaceutical companies, I don't want to buy your drugs. I don't want any Nexium. If I have acid reflux, I need to get to the cause. What in the hell is causing that? What vitamin or mineral or what poison is causing my acid reflux disease for which I need a solution? Now, I'm content to solve my problem. So, I'm going to ask the question again, why is it necessary for me to educate the public? I don't have any duty to protect a fool from his folly. I'm not here to tell you people to stop smoking. Everybody that smokes by now must have heard that smoking is bad for their health. I started smoking when I was about 12, 13 years old, and when I started smoking, they told me it was good for my health. That smoking was good for your T-zone. I'll show you next week, in 1937, the R.J. Reynolds Company advertised in big-name magazines like Look and Life and Time that you should smoke a cigarette between every course of a five-course dinner. that you should smoke a cigarette before you sit down to eat. You should smoke a cigarette after you have had your appetizer. You should smoke a cigarette right after you eat your salad. You should smoke a cigarette right after you eat your entree. And you should smoke a cigarette right after you eat your dessert. And you should smoke a cigarette during the liqueur after dessert. Now, that's what was advertised as being good for your health. It aids in your digestion, they said. And CNH white sugar? Listen, they said that white sugar in 1937, in the big major magazines, published by Betty Crocker. Remember Betty Crocker now, coming out of General Mills? They said that white sugar was what you needed to eat to lose weight. It was a diet aid. I'll show you that next week. I'm not kidding you here. Now, the people believed that, and they smoked. And when I started smoking, I smoked because I thought it was good for my health. When I discovered that they lied to me and that it wasn't good for my health, I stopped. But I would submit that by now, you'd have to be brain dead if you believe that smoking is good for your health. I mean, in 2007, you must have been propagandized by now to the point where you know that smoking is bad for your health, hell, even if you're a 12, 13, 14-year-old kid. Then why should we go out here and tell these kids and tell all of these people that are smoking that they ought not to do that? Can't they go out and do what they want to do, even if it's bad for them? Why do we... What makes us so superior to everybody else that we have to go out and live their lives for them and take away from them their pleasures? Because if we do that, then we shouldn't be surprised when somebody comes along and says, "Oh my God, that guy Gordon over there, he's doing the wrong things in life. We've got to regulate and control him and make life happy for him." Isn't that what we do with people when we lock them up in mental hospitals? We say, "Listen, you're not living your life right. We're going to have to tell you how to live your life from now on. We'll tell you when to get up in the morning. We'll tell you when to go to bed at night, and we'll tell you what to do in between." That's why we have the military service, isn't it? For people that can't live their own lives without guidance and direction. You know, if you need guidance and direction, go join the Army. Go sign into a mental hospital. But out here on the street, I'd kind of like to live my life, and I'd like to make my own decisions, even if they're bad. So I'm gonna take exception to Mr. Trudeau right there. And he goes on to say over here, individual corporate executives and politicians, and he says, "In addition to educating the public, it is my intention to spearhead lawsuits, specifically class action lawsuits, against those who are allowing millions of people to suffer needlessly through suppression of the truth about natural, non-drug, and non-surgical cures." Oh my God. I got to underline that. Let me read that to you again. Mr. Trudeau says, in addition to educating the public, evidently in educating the public, he must believe that the public is dumb, uneducated, and needs his information. "It is my intention to spearhead lawsuits. I'm going to sue the bastards." And I'm sitting over here saying, well, why do we want to sue people? Because they want to sell CNH white sugar to people that want to buy CNH white sugar. And he says, well, because these people that buy this white sugar don't know how bad it is for them. Well, okay, but if they wanted to know how bad it is for them, isn't the information out there for them to find if they were so inclined? I found out about white sugar. Can't you find out about white sugar? Can you poke white sugar into a Google search and can you read? You know, most people would say, well, I don't care about white sugar. You know, I really don't care about smoking. I really don't care about this or that or something else. Well, okay. When people say, I don't care about that, why do we have to go educate them? Why do we have to go impose ourselves into their lives and make their lives miserable and spend our money, our time, effort, and energy trying to tell somebody something he doesn't want to know, doesn't want to hear, doesn't want to find out? can't we just shut up and butt out? I know it's a wild new concept, but... So he's going to sue these people. And then specifically class action lawsuits against those who are allowing, millions of people to suffer needlessly. Well, gosh, I guess I need to be sued. Because I'm allowing millions of people to suffer needlessly. And it's because I think that those millions of people who are suffering needlessly are suffering needlessly because it's their choice in life. And I don't have any specific duty to go out and inform you that cigarette smoking is bad for your health and that when you get cancer of the lung, like John Wayne, from your cigarette smoking over here, you're going to suffer. So therefore, I don't want you to suffer needlessly, so I'm going to make you suffer with purpose. I'm going to get up in your face and sue you and raise hell with you. I don't know, kids, it seems like to me that we could butt out and leave people alone. What I'm trying to spearhead over here is I want these do-gooders. So you got do-gooders on both sides. You got the do-gooders over here that want to educate all of you smokers about how bad that is, and then we got all you smokers over there that want to educate me about how bad my drinking is. And then we got some other do-gooder group over here. They want to educate me or force me to go to church. And you got some other little do-gooder operation over here. Yeah, they knock on your door. There's people going around, do-gooders, knocking on your door asking you, do you know Jesus? I was asking them, I don't know, does he live here in the neighborhood? And then they kind of look around like, you know, is this guy for real? You know, I'm not knocking on anybody's door trying to get them to join my church. I don't care if you join my church or not. In fact, I'd just assume you didn't. You just had a lot of competition. I'd just like to have my own little church with no competition from you at all. Now, I used to smoke for many years, and I enjoyed every puff. I never had a bad puff off of a Roy Tan cigar. I always thought they were pretty damn good. And when I see somebody smoking a Roy Tan, I say, oh, God, I wish I could do that. I could. You know, I could go in the tobacco store and buy me a Roy Tan, too. But, you know, I looked at that and I said, well, I got to make a choice here. It's either I'm going to die from cancer, and I've seen a few people die from cancer, cured me. All you have to do is watch somebody die from cancer, and if that don't cure you, nothing will. Anyway, I watched a couple, three people die from cancer, and I said, no, I don't want to do that. So that's why I don't smoke Roy Tans. I quit. And that's why I don't suck on Pepsis anymore. I've seen a few people die, and I said, that doesn't look good to me. It's a choice that I made. And I made that choice for myself. But I'm not out here knocking on your door telling you to give up your Roy Tans and Pepsis. And I'm not going to sue you if you don't. How do you like that? I'm not even going to waste a lot of time educating you. I don't care whether you know about it or don't. How's that? Now, since class action suits have been filed against the tobacco industry, things have slowly begun to change in that area. The same will happen in healthcare. As of right now, no one is taking the lead in fighting the pharmaceutical industry. Together, we can create a society where fewer people get sick with disease and illness, instead of the current trend where more people every year become sick with disease and illness. Has it ever occurred to anybody that maybe these people want to get sick and they want to be ill? I don't know. I didn't ask them. I got sick a couple of times, didn't feel very good, and I said, I don't like this. This is Badsville, and I want to quit doing this. And I got real busy, and I went out, and like Kevin Trudeau here, and I learned about CNH white sugar, and I learned about tobacco and about booze and the FDA. That's why I thought I'd share it with you, you know, if you wanted to know, I'd share it with you. I'm just telling you about the FDA because, you know, there are a bunch of people up there, businessmen, of course, and they're trying to make a buck, you know, like all of us. And the FDA, combined with the pharmaceutical industry, make their money selling drugs. And they sell these drugs to ignorant people who smoke and drink and eat bad food and get themselves real fat and screw up their hearts and their lymph systems and so on and have a lot of pain, suffering, anguish. And they would like to continue selling those drugs to those people who are in pain. And I think that the people that are in pain ought to be informed that there is an alternative. And that's why I'm on the air. I'm not here to convince you that I'm right or persuade you that you need to change. I don't care whether you do or not. I think you ought to have available to you a choice. And then you ought to be free to choose. And if you want to choose cigarettes, get after it. You want to go down to Flo's Whorehouse and have a fling on Friday night? Go to it, partner. Now, I'm not going to smoke with you, and I'm not going to go down to Flo's with you, and I don't think I'll have a drink with you, but listen, I don't want to get in the way of your happiness and success. Now, Mr. Trudeau over here, I admire the man, and I'm very grateful to him, and I'm sharing his book with you. But, you know, every once in a while, you know, you get one set of do-gooders over here on one side and another set of do-gooders on the other side. And, you know, by the time you get all these do-gooders over here living your life for you, you haven't got any choices to make for yourself. God, man, I just want to choose for myself. If I want to smoke, I want you to get out of my face and let me smoke. Now, I will concede this. I got to tell you a little story. I was in a public place one time, and I lit up a White Owl cigar. This is back in the old days, you know, when people used to smoke because it was healthy. And there was a lady in there, and she complained about my smoking my cigar. And she let me know about it. It was in a restaurant, what it was. I think it was in Jake's, is where it was. She got a little rude and nasty about me smoking my cigar, and I looked at her and I said, "Lady, if you don't like it, why don't you get up and get the hell out of here?" Shows you what I thought of non-smokers. Now, that was pretty rude, and I'm all in favor of having, you know, smoking sections over here and non-smoking. I don't mind a restaurant saying, "Hey, we don't allow smoking in here." Because if you're a smoker and you want to go smoke, I think you should have a smoker's restaurant. And that's what I'm opposed to here in Springfield. The Springfield City Council the other day, you know, they got up in arms here a couple, 3 years ago. They passed some ordinances and said you can't smoke in the restaurants. And then the other day they got up in arms and they said you can't smoke in the bar. Hell, the only purpose for going to the bar is to smoke and drink. I mean, the next thing they're going to do is come in there and say, well, you can go to the bar, but you can't drink because drinking's bad for you. Or they're going to tell you pregnant women out there, well, you pregnant women, you can't go into the bar and drink because that's bad for you and the baby. I don't know why these women can't go in there and drink and then go deliver a baby that's deformed. It's the choice they want to make, isn't it? Right away somebody comes along and says, oh my God, you're totally insensitive. I'm totally in favor of freedom of choice. That's what I'm in favor of. I'm in favor of you Jehovah's Witnesses butting out of my life and don't knock on my door and don't ring my doorbell. That's what I'm in favor of. But hell, I'm all in favor of Jehovah's Witnesses. I want you people to live your lives and have a good time, go to your church, worship God, and do what you want to do. And I'm not going to knock on your door and pester you and tell you that you're a member of the wrong church and you're going to hell if you don't join my church next week. Hell, I don't care if you guys go to hell or not. No skin off my back. All right, so let's get down here to this freedom of choice thing, can we? I think freedom of choice ought to apply to everybody. I know it's a wild new idea, but, you know, come on. I would like to have the freedom of choice to make the wrong decisions in life. Decisions that harm me. Decisions that cause me pain, suffering, and anguish. It's because I want to be the guy that makes that choice. Furthermore, that's what God has allowed all of us to do. Do you ever stop and think about that? Now, if you'll think about it, let me take you over here to Leviticus chapter 11. He gives you a list of foods over here that you ought not to be eating. It's kind of like Mr. Trudeau, you know, he's telling you what the problem is that you've got these people out here that are producing foodless foods. They're hydrogenated vegetable oils. Okay, well, hydrogenated vegetable oil is really bad for you. So as a reporter, I want to report to you that hydrogenated vegetable oil goes right through your stomach lining and then goes into your arteries and then causes plaque on your arteries. It's bad cholesterol. It plugs up your arteries, and if it breaks loose, this plaque, you know, a little bunch of this plaque breaks loose, it can get over to a junction and plug it up, especially in your brain, and give you a stroke. Or it can plug up and it can get into your heart valve and cause a heart attack and cause you to die or to be very severely impaired. Oh, I don't think that hydrogenated vegetable oil is good for you. In fact, I wanted to tell you that it's really bad for you. And that's why we have labels on food, so that you can look. You know, you go into the store and you pick up the package of Oreo cookies. If God made anything better than an Oreo cookie, he must have kept it for himself. God, they're good. But I look on the package of Oreo cookies and I see hydrogenated cottonseed oil. And I say to myself, uh-oh, that's the stuff that plugs up my arteries and gives me heart attack, those bad, nasty chest pains. Remember I told you about those bad, nasty chest pains? Okay, they hurt like hell. And after you've had some of those hard chest pains, and then you look on the Oreo cookie package, hydrogenated vegetable oil, you know, for you young kids 15 years old, never had that chest pain, you can't relate to hydrogenated vegetable oil and chest pain. You ain't had it. After you have it a couple of times, then go read the label on the Oreo cookies and you'll be able to put them down. You'll be able to. And if you can't, when you die and they bury you in a hole in the ground, you'll be able to leave them alone. Now, some people have to learn the hard way. See, some people have to have a heart attack. They're like me, hard heads. They have to have a heart attack. They have to have pain, suffering, and anguish. And then they learn from that. See, most people can't learn from experience, from advice. They have to learn from experience. Mr. Trudeau here wants you people to live your lives without any pain. He's going to take all the pain away. He's going to decide for you. He's going to sue these guys, and he's going to take the hydrogenated vegetable oil out of the Oreo cookies and deny you the right to choose heart attack, pain, suffering, and death. I don't think you ought to do that. Yeah, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law School website, or the Law Hour website, is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed at the website also. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, at least to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements are recommendations that we give. Do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may or may not be endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, though, are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network, or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website is georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing a book called Natural Cures, a dynamite book written by Kevin Trudeau called Natural Cures That They Don't Want You to Know About. Now, here's where I do agree with Mr. Trudeau. I think that Mr. Trudeau should have full range of freedom of expression and freedom of speech for him to reach you or me or anybody else and then communicate his ideas with us, assuming that we want to listen to him. And he complains in his book that he is being throttled by government agencies. And I know that that's true because I, too, am being throttled by these very same government agencies. But as a lawyer, I can sit here and say to you, I know why Mr. Trudeau, not being trained in law, doesn't understand why he doesn't have freedom of speech. And that's because Congress, our lawmaking authority, our God, has decreed by law that these institutions have monopolies, corporate monopolies. Now, whether that's good or bad or right or wrong, I don't know. I'm just a reporter. I'm just here to tell you that's the way the game is being played. So I cannot give you people legal advice. I know people, they call me on the telephone, Mr. Gordon, I need some advice. What they're really saying to me, Mr. Gordon, I can't live my life. I don't know what to do. I need a guardian to tell me what to do. And that's why I'm calling you, Mr. Gordon, because I need advice. I want you to notice that I'm not calling you and asking you for advice. I don't need your advice. That's why I don't go to lawyers. Well, I don't go very often. Now, once in a while, I might go to a lawyer, I might go to a doctor, I might go to a dentist, I might go to somebody and say, hey, listen, I have a problem over here and I need some help solving it. And when I do, I'm admitting then that, well, I don't know how to solve this problem and I need some advice. Now, when you call me here, you should ask for my opinion, not for my advice, because you see, I can't give you legal advice. I'm not a licensed lawyer. You got to be a licensed lawyer. Not just a lawyer, you got to be licensed, bonded, and insured. It's like a doctor. You know, there was a guy by the name of Bruce Halsted, Dr. Bruce Halsted. And he was a cancer researcher. And he was licensed, bonded, insured, taking public money. And he was out researching cures for cancer. And then he got crosswise with the AMA and the FDA, and they arrested him, prosecuted him, and threw him in prison. Why did they do that? Well, because he was exercising freedom of speech. You can't do that. You can't do that in America. You fools, you blind, you nitwits. You see, when you're a cancer researcher, and you're licensed, you belong to a monopoly. And the monopoly will then tell you when to get up, when to go to bed, and what to do in between. It's like joining the army. There's no freedom of speech in the army. Can you understand that? Somebody's going to tell you when to get up, when to go to bed, and what to do in between. That's why you join the army. That's why Mr. Halsted evidently didn't understand that when you join the American Medical Association, you join a monopoly, and they will tell you how to cure cancer. There's a protocol for doing that. It's called cut, burn, and poison. And anybody that acts outside of that protocol is going to be prosecuted. Now, I understand that, and so, okay, I don't think it's right, and I don't think that we should do that. I don't think it's good public policy, but shucks, boys and girls, I understand the law. I understand how the game's played. So I don't give legal advice. I don't give it on the air. I don't give it on the telephone. Hell, I don't even give it in the classroom. People say in the classroom, you know, students come in here and they sit down and say, well, what should I do about this? I say, God, man, I don't know what you should do about that. I hardly know what I should do about that. But here's what I do to solve that problem for myself. And then I describe, here's my opinion. And you'll notice here that in this book, Mr. Trudeau started off at the very beginning and he said, I can only give you my opinion. I can't communicate with you honestly, so I have to give you this disclaimer. Remember, I did that in program number one in this series. I said, here's his disclaimer. I don't think Mr. Trudeau should have to make this disclaimer. I think he should be able to stand up. It's like doctors, psychiatrists, plumbers, carpenters, electricians, and say, let me tell you what I know. Let me be responsible for what I believe and what I'm telling you. And if this doesn't work, why don't you sue me? And then I'm here for Mr. Trudeau in the guise of freedom of expression and freedom of speech. Now, the thing that I'm taking Mr. Trudeau to task over is, in his view, he wants to take away the same freedom of choice and freedom of speech from the AMA and the pharmaceuticals and the FDA. And I'm sitting here saying, hey, hang on, wait a minute, Mr. Trudeau. By throttling the freedom of speech and the freedom of action of the FDA, the pharmaceutical industry, and the AMA, all we're doing is taking away our own freedom. Medical doctors need to be free to kill people. And naturopaths need to be free to cure people. What we need is more freedom and less tyranny, less direction, less do-gooders telling us how to live our lives. Now, I can see the evils that are being perpetrated by the FDA. And it's bad, wicked, terrible, awful, evil, and probably ought to be stopped. But I'm not going to stop it. And that's because the people of America want it. My God, the people of America that are 65 years and older, on average, are taking 6 prescription drugs. There's nobody holding a gun to the people's heads, making them take those prescription drugs. They want prescription drugs. Personally, I think that's a bad choice. I think it's bad for people to take drugs. You know, if everybody in America was a George Gordon, all of the drug manufacturers would go out of business at about 5 o'clock tomorrow or 5 o'clock the day after. About 1 or 2 days, they'd all be out of business because nobody would be buying any drugs. There would be no war on drugs if everybody in America was a George Gordon, because nobody in America would buy any cocaine, heroin, aspirin, Nexium, Tambacor. Nobody would buy illegal drugs, legal drugs. Nobody would buy any drugs at all. None. Zero. Zilch. What would that do to the pharmaceutical industry? Nobody would open a checking account, banking account, or do business with any bank, commercial institution. Nobody would have a mortgage, second mortgage, deed of trust, certificate of stock. No one would buy bonds. What would happen to the bond market, the stock market, the mortgage market? There wouldn't be any. What would happen to usury and interest? There wouldn't be any. Now, that's if everybody was a George Gordon. Now, obviously, everybody isn't a George Gordon, because everybody has credit cards, checking accounts, mortgages on their houses. Who in the hell is George Gordon to come around and say, that's all bad, wicked, terrible, awful, and evil. I'm going to sue all the banks, especially with class action suits, and I'm going to educate all you people to how stupid you are and how foolish you are, and how nonsensical it is for you to be practicing these practices. And I'm asking the question again, why? Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to take away from you the pain, the suffering, and the anguish that you go through every month trying to balance your checkbook, pay your mortgage, and pay your bills, living from payday to payday? Why would I want to take that away from you? You chose it. It's your choice in life. You do it. I didn't put a gun to your head and make you sign that mortgage, open that checking account. Now, I think education is pretty good, and so when I come on the air and I say, well, listen, if you do this, you're probably going to get the same kind of result that I got. That's what my daddy told me one time. I was a little kid, you know, probably. Shucks, 12, 13 years old. And he said to me, he said, son, there isn't anything that you're going to do in life that I haven't already done. I thought, you know, I'm 12 years old. I thought, big deal. What do you mean? Why, shucks. You know, I'm 12 years old. Why, there's lots of things over here that you ain't never thought of, Daddy. That's what I was thinking, sir. And had to do over a slingshot that I had. And my Uncle Carol made me this real neat slingshot. I mean, it was a James Dandy Wallapalooser. And it was accurate. It was well balanced. It was beautiful. God, I loved it. I love my Uncle Carol, too. And so my dad, he saw me carrying that slingshot in my back pocket. He says, hey, boy, what do you got there? My dad called me boy. And I pulled it out real proud-like, you know, and I said, I got a slingshot here. And he said, let me see that. And he looked at it, and he oohed and awed, and he said, wow. He said, why, who made this? And I said, Uncle Carol made that for me. And my dad said, that Uncle Carol, he always made the best slingshots. I never could make a slingshot near as good as Uncle Carol. Uncle Carol was my dad's brother. And he said, this is better than any slingshot I have ever seen your Uncle Carol make. He said, let's go test it. And we went out in the alley, and my dad tested that slingshot, and he said, God, this is the best slingshot I think I have ever played with. I got to tell you, boys and girls, I was standing at least 3 inches off the ground. I was so proud of my slingshot. And so we went back in the house, and my dad said to me, he said, son, you need to take that slingshot now and throw it in the garbage. Get rid of it. You don't want that slingshot. I couldn't believe my ear balls. Here's my dad. He complimented me. He told me what a great slingshot. He said he'd never seen a slingshot better than that one, made by Uncle Carol, who was the greatest slingshot maker that he ever heard of, never knew of. He couldn't make a slingshot like that. My daddy couldn't. And he said, well, you know, you're going to be out there breaking windows with that, and you got to pay for every window you break. That's the bad news. That was the downside. He said, you got to pay for every window you break. And I said, oh, no, Dad, I won't be out breaking any windows. He said, well, okay. And so I left, and I kept my slingshot, and I went out and did my thing in life. Well, some time went by. I don't remember how much time, but it was a few weeks went by. 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, something like that. Some time went by. One day, this is before television. Now, one day, my old daddy, he's laying on the couch reading the paper. It's the way we used to get our news. We didn't have Katie Couric and Brian Williams. We had a newspaper in those days. You had to be able to read. If you wanted to know what the news was, you had to be educated. And so he's reading the paper, and I came in, had my slingshot in my back pocket, and he said, hey, boy, come here. He said, I've got some bad reports about you. And I said, bad reports? Yep. Yes, sir, I got a bad report about you and about that slingshot. And I said, well, what was that? And he said, you went out and broke some windows. Now, I was raised in the era before child abuse. And my old daddy he wasn't a religious guy. My old dad was not a religious man, but he believed in thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness. He wouldn't take lying down. And so when my daddy asked me something, or if I told my dad something, it had to be the truth, because if I lied to him and he found out about it, there was going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It was God-awful painful. Awful painful to lie. So if you told the truth, you didn't get whipped. You didn't have a lot of pain to it. You'd get punished. You know, you might have to wash the dishes for 2 weeks. But, you know, it was your choice. So, and when he said to me, he said, I got a bad report about some broken windows. Now, I was pretty cocky and confident that nobody had seen me out breaking any windows. It wasn't that I wasn't out busting windows. It was that I was pretty damn sure nobody had seen me busting any. See? But now my dad said to me, he said, I got a bad report about you busting some windows. And he said, how many did you break? And there was a little bit of a pregnant pause, and I said, I don't know how many, Dad, but maybe two or three. And he said, okay, let's go take a look at them. So we went out and we got in the car, and we drove down the street about 6-8 blocks down to 11th and 8th Street, right there, straight across from the VFW building. There was a Christian Scientist Church, I believe it was, Christian something church, and they had these stained glass windows. And over there at the VFW building, there was an old cannon from World War I and then on one side, and there was one from World War II on the other side. No, artillery pieces, you know. And they were all covered with bushes, see. And so behind the bushes and where these cannons were, there were the neatest rocks. I mean, these rocks were just made for that slingshot. Perfect rocks. The kind of rocks that you just drool over because they're all the right size. I mean, those rocks had all been handcrafted just for slingshot ammunition. Boy, little David could have killed five of those giant Goliaths with the rocks that were there. Well, anyway, we went over and we looked up there and then we knocked on the door and we got the old preacher out there. He didn't even know the windows were busted. They were way up on the top of the church, you know. And I was firing them rocks from clear over there behind that artillery piece. It must have been over there 200, 300 feet. It was about like, you know, the length of a football field. I mean, that was one powerful slingshot, fine rocks to be firing up those windows. And standing behind those bushes where nobody could see me. I mean, it was a perfect setup. You couldn't ask for better window busting circumstance than I had there. So they counted, it was 11 of them. Busted 11. And I forgot what the hell the price was on those windows. They weren't leaded in. That was the good news. They were putted in. But, you know, you had to get up there on a scaffold or on a big long ladder and had to get the glazer company out there. And they fixed those 11 windows. And I think it cost me around $55 for those 11 windows, stained glass windows. 1950, 51, $55, boys and girls. That was all that a paper boy made. In fact, a little bit more than a paper boy made in a month, delivering 130 or 40 papers. Well, sir, did my dad take that slingshot away from me? No, sir, Rebob. He did not take that slingshot away from me. He just made me pay for those windows. All 11 of them. Well, some time went by. I don't know exactly how much time, but some years went by. And one day, when I was a young man, about 21 or 2 or 3 years old, we were sitting at the Blue Room there at Arlinda Corners over in Ferndale, having a beer with my dad. I'm sitting there on the bar stool, and we were chit-chatting away, you know, about how things were and how things ought to be and politics and one thing and another. And I got to thinking a little bit, and I said, Dad, I got a question I got to ask you. And he said, well, son, say on. And I said, remember that slingshot Uncle Carol made for me? He said, yes, sir, I remember that. Finest slingshot I think I ever saw. I said, yes, sir, it was. And I said, remember, I went down and I busted some windows out of that Christian church across from the VFW? He said, yes, sir, I remember that. I remember that well. And I said, it cost me about $55, as I recall, to put those windows back in there. And I've been a-wondering ever since where you got that bad report, seeing how I was standing behind the bushes, standing behind the old cannon, standing over there where nobody could see me. And he said, well, son, I lied to you. Nobody gave me a bad report. But you see, I knew you was up busting windows because when I was about your age, 12, 13 years old, I had a slingshot. And I took that slingshot out, and I was firing it and having a good time with it, and my dad told me, that's your granddad, my dad told me, he said, now you throw that slingshot away because you're going to be out busting windows with that. And so I didn't listen to him, and so I went out and busted some windows, and my old dad got me, and he said, I got a bad report about you busting some windows. And since how I knew I couldn't lie to my dad, just like you knew you couldn't lie to me, I told him about them busted windows, and I had to pay for them. And when I got to be about your age, 21, 22, 23 years old, I was sitting there having a beer with my dad in Garberville's Brass Rail. And I asked him the same question you're asking me, son. I asked my dad, and I said, how did you know I was out busting windows? And he said, well, when I was about your age, 12, 13 years old, I had a slingshot. And I went out with my slingshot, and I was firing it and having a good time with it. And my dad said to me, you take that slingshot and you throw it away because you're going to be out there busting windows. You get the picture here, children? You see, slingshots and busting windows have been in the Gordon clan for generations now. And so I had a boy named Ted, and he had a slingshot. And I told him, Ted, you throw that slingshot away, because if you don't, you're going to be out there busting windows. Sure enough, my boy Ted, he's out there busting windows. And the reason I know that, kids, is because every 12-year-old kid with a slingshot's going to be out there busting windows. And that's what slingshots are made for, busting windows. All right, now you got the drift of that. Now, notice here that in all of our generations, nobody took the slingshots away. And every kid's free to go out there and bust windows. You just have to be responsible for and buy every window that you bust. But don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Now, boys and girls, I contend that the same thing applies to medicine and the AMA and the medical doctors and the pharmaceuticals and you and me and everybody else. You know, you ought to take all those prescriptions you got in there in your medicine cabinet and dump them down the toilet. You're not going to do that. You're going to suck up every one of those, and you're going to take all those medicines, and they're going to kill you. Just like those slingshots were made for busting windows. All those drugs are made for killing people. So don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. All right, we're running a little short of time here, kids, so we're going to have to cut it off here and remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. And if you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact discs. If you'd like more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.